Then again, I'm at the Bog. We had the Delzer ESPN Open 30th anniversary of the opening of the Bog, Arnold Palmer's course. That's special. But this is even better. The segment, John Anderson, 7-2.5 with Jason Wilde. Take it away, Professor.
Wilde, did you drink an Arnold Palmer? Are you a lemonade and iced tea guy? I am not.
I'll drink an iced tea. I'll drink a lemonade. If I have to choose, I'll choose lemonade, but I'm definitely not combining things. I'm the same guy who wants the little dividers from kitty plates to still be what I use for my plates. I don't want my food touching. I also don't want my beverages mixing.
Oh, Lord. They have medicine for those kind of things if it gets too bad, just so you know. Hey, so we're a week out. What are the most pressing things on the Packers' agenda in the next week? Because it feels like I'd like to get the Jenkins thing straightened out, and I think the whole NFL would like to get the whole second-round draft pick thing sorted out.
Yeah, those are two big ones, and I would also add, you know, and he said he wasn't going to do this when we talked to him at the minicamp, but I would add Zach Tom, and whether or not he's going to actually set foot on the field, you know, we're seeing Terry McLaurin in Washington saying, I don't see myself practicing until this is resolved. You saw the Chiefs get a deal done with their guard before the franchise tag had to stay in place. I'm not sure either one of these guys are going to hold out necessarily, but you see the Jets get deals done with two of their biggest players, and maybe that happens in the next, you know, week or so before the Packers start camp a week from tomorrow, and the veterans report a week from today. But I don't know. I haven't gotten any vibe, and I haven't bothered Elton. You know, I obviously had checked in on things during the off season earlier, and I think there were some people that thought I was making it up that he was unhappy with his existing contract, and he wanted some guaranteed money from the money that's already owed to him, which we know in the NFL you don't necessarily get. So that's what he was looking for. It hasn't happened yet. Doesn't mean it won't, but I think Elton Jenkins, Zach Tom, and Anthony Belton slash every second-round pick except the first two who have their guaranteed money. I think all three of those things are on the to-do list. And, you know, they didn't get the Jordan Love contract done until there were a couple of practices in last year. That could happen again here too. But I am very curious to see. The first thing I will be looking at when I am out at practice a week from tomorrow is 74 out here and it's 50 out here? Or are they on a stationary bike drinking an Arnold Palmer and watching practice instead?
Which of those is the most pressing?
I mean, look, I think they're both pressing, right? Like, in Jenkins' case, he's switching positions. So I don't care that he played against Detroit there last year and he has X number of snaps in his career. You know, you've also brought in a left guard to play in his old spot that he's going to be playing next to. I would think you want to get those guys the maximum amount of work together, and they got zero snaps together during the offseason program. You know, Zach Tom, you know, that becomes an issue for a couple of reasons. One is, obviously, he's a really good offensive lineman. Second of all, you know, he did not have an offseason program last year when he tore his pec. He didn't get started right away in training camp. But more importantly, here's a guy who probably doesn't want to risk going out there having gone through the pec injury last year. So I would guess, and again, I don't know this. I have not talked to Zach since we talked to him at minicamp. But I would guess that he wants to go out there and practice, and his agents are like, the hell you are. We're not taking this chance. Did you forget what happened last year? So I think both of them are pressing. You know, Anthony Belton, the second-round pick, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I viewed him as, I don't think they plan on him starting right away anyway. So I don't think that one's as pressing. I think the other two take far more precedence.
You've seen enough, been around enough. Neither of those things, the Tom or the, those don't seem like huge fixes. Those don't seem like giant cavernous problems compared to some of the other ones we see. How do you look at them?
I look at it the same way. And, you know, one of my greatest accomplishments in 2025 is that I got Homer to agree with me on something when he started a segment completely philosophically opposed to it. And that is, you don't have to win every negotiation, right? You don't have to be able to say, well, we, you know, as the organization, we got what we wanted. Sometimes the best thing to do is take care of your guys. And the Elgton Jenkins part is the one, like, I can, the reason why I can see why the Zach Tom thing might take a little while longer, even though he was, you know, look, Pro Football Focus had his best grades of his career despite the Pac-12. He finished third in the AP All-Pro voting behind Penei Sewell and Lane Johnson. So theoretically, if they had a third team All-Pro, he'd be the right tackle. So, but I can see why his would take a little bit of time if you're not sure where does he fall in terms of what's he worth, right? I get that part of it. The Elgton Jenkins thing, your general manager is on the record saying that you believe he can be an All-Pro center. If you believe that, and he's not asking for new money, he's simply asking for some of the money that's existing in his contract to be guaranteed so he's not being left out to dry for 2026, I don't think that's a hard fix at all. And doing right by a player who has done everything you've asked him, including moving to center, right? I mean, theoretically, he could have said, no, centers make less money. Forget you. I'm staying at left guard. And if you don't want to play me at left guard, I want to be traded. But he didn't do that. So why not just take care of the guy with money that you probably should pay him anyway?
So if I'm looking as to why this is taking long, so long, or why this has become a something that didn't have to be a thing has become a thing, to use really technical terms.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think the breakdown is here? Who's stalling or what good is coming out of this holding, you know, the weight?
Yeah, it's Goody and Russ Ball who don't want to guarantee money they don't have to guarantee, which they don't. Like Homer's point when we had this debate a couple of weeks ago was his contract is his contract. We all know that NFL contracts are one-way deals. All kinds of players throughout history have not gotten the last 2 years of their deals, right? I mean, that's not uncommon. So they can play hardball if they want to and say, no, you know, you're under contract. Hey, it is what it is. You know, you're going to get your $11 million base salary this year guaranteed after you go for the first week. But to me, that's where the importance is, get these guys working together and take care of your guy. But the holdup, yeah, I would think, John, is that Elgton Jenkins is going to turn 30 years old on December 26th. And if they don't have to guarantee 2026 money, they don't want to. Even though they got all kinds of cap space to do it, even though they can put void years on and spread the charge out for 2020. The dude wants to know that he's going to be here this year and next year. And then if you're done with him and he's a free agent, fine. But I don't think it's an unreasonable position, especially given what he's done for this team and what the general manager said about him when he announced that he was moving to center. Mm-hmm.
In your years covering the Packers, where give me some examples of the worst times where they just burned money with a wrong contract or a signing or a bonus or you came to lift weights and we gave you $8,000 where have they had some great burnt money?
Well, the two that come to mind for me immediately. The first one is at the same time, Vonnie Holiday, who went on to play 15 years in the NFL, who was their first round pick in 1998. And, you know, as Ron Wolf will tell you, he should have taken Randy Moss instead. But Vonnie had a really great, long, productive NFL career. They had a choice between re-signing him or re-signing Cletus Hunt. They chose as that guy that's guarding the chalice in Indiana Jones. They chose poorly.
Poorly.
Right? And Cletus Hunt was a bust, and I think he still owes, like, back taxes in the state of Wisconsin. Like, it was terrible on the field. So that's one. And then two, you know, and this is, I'm a biased on both these because the two guys they chose not to sign were two of my guys. Bonnie is one. And the other one was they had two safeties that were up after the 16 season. One was Morgan Burnett, who never, you know, he was a third round pick. He was never a bad player, right? He was never a great player. But the other guy was Micah Hyde.
Micah Hyde.
And they told Micah Hyde with 6 games left in the season, we're not re-signing you. Which, again, I have no idea why you would do that. But Micah Hyde, all he did was went out and went to multiple Pro Bowls and was an All-Pro in Buffalo. And, you know, Morgan Burnett was fine, but he certainly wasn't as good of a player. And what's funny is, in one case, you know, they paid a guy based on potential. That was Mike Sherman who did that, I think, with Bonnie. On the other one, they paid the guy that had been a starter instead of the guy that was up and coming, which they should have done, which was Micah Hyde. Now, I think Goody's almost always going to choose the up and coming guy. And that's maybe why we're where we are. Like maybe he thinks that these guys are replaceable. Maybe that's the reason. Maybe that's the holdup is that, hey, we're not going to guarantee more money for Elgton Jenkins because, you know, we want to be able to have the flexibility that if he's not good enough next year, we'll draft somebody or we'll go to Jacob Monk and we're not on the hook for anything for him next year.
You know, Micah Hyde is a BHA. Do you know what the BHA is?
Best Hawkeye. No, I don't know.
Yeah, best Hawkeye available. That's what you should do in the draft. When it gets late, you just draft the BHA. Just give me the best Hawkeye available. And that seems to work out really well everywhere. When they do that.
Yeah, they do that with the best Mizzou player available too, but it usually doesn't go as quite as well.
That's actually not a thing, but the BHA is a thing. There's a lot of Hawkeyes in the sixth and seventh round. They're like, you know what? I don't know. Pick a guy that played for Ferentz. He'll show up and he'll be good here. What it happens.
True. I mean,
so.
Yeah. Look at the Packers track record with Iowa guys.
Yeah.
How many Iowa guys have maybe Abdul Hodge, who's like a third round pick. You know, he didn't ever really become anything. But overall, I think you're probably right. Mike Daniels, Brian Bulaga. I mean, they got Christian Welch on their roster now. And that was one of their mistakes last year, was letting him – they cut him at the end of camp. Like, it's true. Those guys are ready-made NFL players. Now, Lucas Van Ness needs to do more because he's – not only is he not the best Hawkeye available, he's not even the best Hawkeye on their roster, I think, right now.
Well, see, but he's too high. The BHA is usually a guy that the fourth, fifth, he's that down the board is when you go with him. That's when you got to come with
him.
And
Micah was what? Micah was what, the fifth round, I think?
Yeah, he's a classic BHA when it comes through. By the way, you said when you mentioned maybe you think these guys are replacements. Remember we did ESPN did a 30-and-30 on the Redskins replacement players from 82 about how, you know, that was the team that ended up winning the championship. And that strike shortened season, right? Isn't that when the Packers won that home game against the Cardinals? I think that was.
They did. Neil Lomax.
Yep, they took care of those
guys. The quarterback?
Yeah, hammered them. But anyway.
That was actually a horrible victory because it made people think that the Packers might have been good. And I, of course, was rooting for them to lose, which it was not nice to Bart Starr. But
that's
100% correct. We are way behind time, which
my
is
goodness.
Fine because that was so good. Right. But I want to ask both of you, how good do you think LaFleur and Goody believe this team is? What do you think their expectations for this season are or is? Jason?
Oh, if you have time, if Pebble's got time to grab it, it's the last question of LaFleur's press conference at the end of minicamp. I asked him that. And I basically said, look, you got all these guys, all these young but experienced guys that you're excited about. You know, if they are who you think they are, how good do you think this team can be? And his answer, the actual words are not like super awesome, but the way he hesitates and the way he answers it, he clearly believes he has a Super Bowl caliber contender, and he bites his tongue, not wanting to raise expectations, and says, I think we can be really competitive. But that is I go back and find that and listen to it. I guarantee you, you will come away with the same impression I had.
And now, what do you think?
Well, I don't hear enough. Everything I get from them usually is what I read, which is harder to tell. You know, tone and body language and some of the things that Jason points out there. But I think they feel exactly like they did going in last year. I think they feel like they have a team that can be the best team in the NFC. I think some of that might be delusional right now, given some of the other things that we've seen, some of the other teams there. I think the Lions are clearly better. I think the Eagles are clearly better. So I think there's that. But yeah, I think they're very much in ride and die mode with the guys that they have there. So I don't know. Like I said, I have the insight that Jason has on that thing, but I don't think they're like, well, we're just hoping that we can sneak into the playoffs.
I think that these guys that we all believe, because we're not married to them, that we all believe have a lot to prove after showing lots of glimpses of being really good players. I think they're convinced they are really good players, and we want to actually see them do it first. I think that's the difference between Goody and LaFleur and us. All right. Bye, guys.
Good. Jason Wilde and 7.5 John Anderson. Man, that's good. Fisco Auto Body. They're also very good on Forest Home in Franklin. How are they so good? It's a family business owned since 1931. It's not what they do. It's who they are. And, yes, they're still in the family. They still have people doing the work that are Fisco's. And imagine how young when they were starting it and how good they are by now. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. That's how they can have expert workmanship guaranteed for the life of the vehicle. Fisco, 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 to remember the name. Fourth quarter with John Anderson. 7.5 next.